Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart and welcome to our new year. So exciting.
Absolutely. How was 2019?
Dave, how was your New Year's Eve? How crazy did you get?
Two movies and the countdown to the ball and a drive home. That was
it. Yeah.
I didn't even drink.
Wow, that's more thrilling than mine. We were in bed by 10:15.
What?
I'm just a wild child. I don't know how to tell you.
But note to self, never party with Brent.
2019 is going to be a great year. I think it's going to be a great year.
It will be. Yes.
A lot of fun things going to happen in Salem-Keizer. Welcome to Newsmakers, everybody. We talk about local initiatives, local institutions, local ideas. Today, we're going to be talking about a local event and the local individual that founded it. Did you watch any football?
Oh, lots.
Yeah, I think I OD'd a little bit on that.
Yeah.
I tried to only watch Pac-12.
Good luck with that.
Hey, and how about the commanding performance of Pac-12 schools? The ones that did win, won by 1 point. And yay, Ducks, huh?
That was a horrible game.
They played just like the Ducks for a single possession.
Yeah.
And that was what all it took to get 7 points. Thank God for the defense.
It was the last 3 minutes of the game, something like that.
Yeah, so the Ducks win. Stanford wins by 1. Washington State wins by 2. And then there's
the Huskies.
Washington. Yeah. I'm going to let us down. Anyway, welcome to the new year. So welcome to Newsmakers. It is our first show of the new year. Very exciting. Good mood. We have an event coming up this weekend in Salem that we wanted to let you know about. And I have an individual, the driving force behind it. It's Mary Lucas. And she has been in the community a long time. And she has quite a history and quite an experience to share with us today that launched an event called Crosswalk, which is going to happen this Saturday at Riverfront Park.
Wow.
So have you been there?
Riverfront Park? Yes.
Oh, you've been there. But yeah. You haven't been to Crosswalk. Okay.
No.
Mary, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's so nice to have you.
It's great.
What's disappointing to me when we have our guests in sometimes is the listener gets to hear your voice. And I, you know, trust me, they can hear that you're smiling. Sometimes I just wish they could see how delightful you are.
Oh, thank you so much.
So thank you for being here.
Does that mean they'll hear me crying too if I get a little teary?
They will. Yeah. And if you cry, the whole show goes to Dave because I'll cry too.
Try not to.
I'm worse at that. Okay. Yeah.
If we go off the air, folks, you know what happened. Yeah. All right, Mary.
We're all crying in here.
I'll just keep that smile on.
Tell us a little bit about, let's just start talking, introduce the listener to you, because you've been working in the community a long time. You raised family here?
Yes, I did.
All right, so tell us about it. When'd you get here?
1970. I am in a McNary High School Celtic.
Oh,
yay,
wow.
Celtics. Yes, yeah, so lived in Keizer for a few
Way
years.
Back.
Went to Western for a year. Chemeketa for a year, and pretty much have been in the Salem area ever since.
And you work at Chemeketa for a long time,
right? I did. I was there for 16 years until I decided to venture out on my own and become self-employed.
Oh, how is that? That's adventurous.
It's been great because I get to make my own schedule. I love what I do. And talking about making your own schedule, I mean, yeah. I get to travel to Costa Rica to see another part of my family there as well a couple times a year, so I'm pretty blessed.
Wow. Well, let us know the address in case we're in the area. We can stop. And
bed and breakfast coming soon.
Oh, excellent. All right. So what is it you do for people?
I am a job developer, and I am authorized through the state of Oregon, through the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, to help individuals that they send my way, help them find appropriate employment. And so individuals that are served by vocational rehabilitation have a variety of disabilities. sometimes I think I could be my own client. And I'm looking at Dave here. He maybe could be a client too.
We need to find Dave a new job.
So anyway, quite a variety, but from physical disabilities to emotional, even, you know, anxiety and depression brings some folks to a place where they just can't seek work. And so my job is to help them do that. And I get to network with a lot of employers in our community. But the main thing that I absolutely love about my job is when an individual leaves my office or cubicle, that they leave with some hope that there's going to be something out there for them.
That's terrific.
I love it.
So Mary had a traumatic experience a number of years ago, which started a cascade of events and led to this crosswalk activity, an event that's going to happen on Saturday. But I'm really interested in what you're doing for a living. And we're going to get to that.
Sure.
We're
going
to get to what happened to you in Salem and what Crosswalk is all about. But what you do actually intersects with a lot of my life.
Because
I think I was saying before the show, my sister's a vocational rehab specialist. I have another friend who's a job developer. And most people are not familiar with that role that you
play.
The people have a hard time getting back into the workforce. Either into the workforce or back into the workforce due to a number of challenges.
Absolutely.
So they could be physical and they can be emotional, they can be illness and they could be injury.
Yes,
right?
That leads to that, yes.
So you help get them placed and so they can have a way to earn a living again.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. So that field's called vocational rehab. I'm really familiar with this. My sister got her master's in Western. So they have a program at Western Oregon University to teach people how to do this and how to counsel them and then the counselor would send them a person like yourself that would try to place them into a job.
That's exactly right.
That's so cool.
Is it tough to find employers that have a position like that, though?
It just depends on the individual. You know, I've got folks who have administrative skills and talents. I have folks on my caseload who are much smarter than I am. They just have some trouble getting their foot in the door and talking to an employer. And then I have, you know, a welder that I'm trying to find placement for. So it's not necessarily their disabilities that become the barrier. It's just what stops them from moving forward sometimes because they have the skills and abilities. They're amazing.
Great.
And part of my my work when I'm networking with employers in the community is to diffuse that definition that people think of when they say or hear the word disability, because we look at it as abilities, and it changes the world and our community. And yes, I do have employers in Salem that they know Mary Lucas is coming. Okay, let's see who she presents, you know. And in a good world, in a good day, I make that match happen.
That's great. So before we move on, what's the name of your business?
Source for Work.
Source for Work.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so you had an unfortunate incident, what, in 2011?
2011.
Okay.
January 1st.
In Salem. I'm going to wait till after the break for you to tell us from beginning to end.
Okay.
But I want the listener to know she was the victim of a violent attack, was somebody from outside our community, and she was rescued.
Yes, I was.
And it was right here in our town, and we're going to let Mary tell her own story right after the break. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430. KYKN, Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne in our first show of the new year. We've got Mary Lucas in the studio with us today, as promised before the break. We're going to let Mary tell her story. It's something that doesn't happen in Salem a lot, fortunately. And wish it never happens at all. But Mary was the victim of a violent attack down in Riverfront Park, correct?
Yes, that's right.
In 2011. And do you want to mind telling us what happened to you?
I don't mind telling at all.
Okay.
Let's go back to January 1st, right? 2011. And I decided to make a New Year's resolution, as we all do, just to be healthier and get out there and walk. And I Emma Walker. I love to be out just strolling, and I decided to go down to Riverfront Park, which is a new place for me to really go and do that because I live so far out Salem. Mm. But it was 8:30 in the morning, and I parked my car down by the carousel and started on my way. And that morning was like it was today, just beautiful, sunny, cold. And people were down there running and walking past me, behind me, in front of me. And all of a sudden, just this side of the Gilbert House, someone came behind me and did a little choke hold around my neck. And you won't believe this, but I turned around and looked up at him and I said, "Do I know you?"
Wow, what a response.
Well, I feel maybe I'm a little Pollyanna, Brent, but I've worked with lots of people in our community over the years, and I've served homeless under the bridge for years through our church, and I just thought, who could be doing this? Why would someone be doing this? And I realized very quickly that it wasn't anybody that I knew at all. So within a matter of seconds, I just started screaming my head off, yelling, "Help me, help me." And while that was happening, he managed to get me down this embankment along the river that is totally concealed because it is under the bridge, and there is a lot of engineered big, I can't remember the word for it, but you couldn't see me from there. But boy, oh boy, could you hear me? You could hear me.
Good for you. I have. I mean, was that your natural reaction, or had you training? I mean, a lot of people are so terrified they can't even make a sound.
I think it would be, for me, just a natural reaction, but it didn't please him very much. So when he had me down on the ground and he was on top of me, he said, "Stop your screaming." And I looked up at him, and then I looked to my left, and he had a 9-inch knife at my neck. And I thought, okay. And that's when I just yelled out, "Lord, save me, please."
And thank the Lord you're here to tell the story.
Thank the Lord I'm here to tell the story. And more than that I had three men that were doing community service that day down at the Riverfront Park. They really shouldn't have been there. They didn't need to have been there on a holiday. They're excused from doing work on a holiday. But they chose to because they just wanted to get those hours behind them. And they had heard my screaming. And initially, they thought it could have been just a boyfriend-girlfriend kind of altercation. Mm-hmm. But it didn't take them long to realize that there was somebody in trouble. And praise the Lord, they jumped a cyclone fence that I would say is about a football field away to come to my rescue. And they found me and they started down this embankment. First one grabbed the perp off of me. Another one was doing the same, trying to get his knife from him. I didn't know what was really happening. I didn't know if this was going to be more of something else, so I just ran crazy up this embankment trying to get away from whoever was doing what. I just didn't know what to expect. I was scared.
Yeah. Were you still screaming?
No, I was running. And then this sweet, dear young man just looked at me and he just said, "It's okay. It's okay. I've already called 911. And I'm just like, "All right, well, thank you, Jesus. We got that."
Was that person one of the three that came to rescue?
He was one of the three that came to rescue me.
So he followed you up the embankment?
He did, chasing behind me because I realized that I had left my phone and he had grabbed it as well and then let me know that he had already called 911.
Wow. So there you are. Your adrenaline must be going like crazy.
Just a little.
You get in panic mode and our brain does weird things.
It does.
The fact that you're able to even recall the incident is amazing. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that you can feel it when you can palpably feel it when recalling, and appreciate you being here and telling the story. Mm-hmm. It must be very emotional, mm-hmm. But so important, because violent crime can be an ugly, ugly thing, and sexual violent crime even worse. And you're there fending for your life, and you get saved.
Yes.
So the man says, "I've called 911. What happened to the assailant?"
The assailant was brought up to the sidewalk, I believe, by the two other gentlemen that were present at the time. And this part is kind of a blur, because it just seemed like with a matter of minutes, we had six police cars right there in the parking lot. And I knew then I was okay.
Wow.
But in the meantime, as Luis was the young man who was telling me that he had already called 911, there were two other gentlemen who were running along the path, and I just ran into their arms. I just felt like I would be safe in their arms, and I was, but they just kind of like, well, what's going on? You know, this woman is, you know, crazy. But anyway, it all worked out.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a story. And those three gentlemen,
they saved my life, Brent.
They saved your life.
They did. And it was told, the assailant made it really clear that he wanted to rape and kill a woman that day. He said that to the police officers. He said that again in courtroom. I mean, it just was
wow.
A sick, sick man.
My goal today is to rape and kill a woman, and I'm going to pick Mary Lou with this.
Yeah.
She just picked you out of the park.
Yeah, that was what wow. happened. Right.
Wow.
Holy cow.
But so, you know what? I got to say, if I have time,
yeah,
I'm really glad that it was me. And I'll tell you why, because I was given the strength to use my voice, to scream, to yell for help, to ask the Lord for that help, and those guys were there. If it had been another person, another woman, they might not have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you were saying, Brent, some people just don't scream because you freeze because mm-hmm. you don't know what to do.
Challenged with a 9-inch knife at your neck as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah.
And thank you to the police for getting there so quickly and taking
me. They were awesome.
So you said something earlier to me about you were interviewed by the police over and over, and you kind of thought it was one of those incidents that had happened, but they made it very clear that it was a very big deal.
Yeah. I didn't realize at the time, by the time I got home, I'll say, that it was such a big deal, but it was a big deal when the detectives came to my office to ask me more questions about what had happened and so forth, and then to find out about the background of this man. He had already led a troubled life. He had already been in prison for 11 years in Iowa. And I really think, I do believe that he was just heading west. And who knows how many other women he might have attacked along the way until he got here mm-hmm. and he was stopped.
So he had been in prison for a similar kind of crime?
Yes.
And he was released?
Yeah, sexual abuse of a young lady.
Mm-hmm. And did he serve his whole sentence? I mean, seems like a violent criminal.
I believe he was released on good behavior, although he had served 11 years.
Wow. Okay, so that doesn't happen to Salem every day.
No.
Right?
No,
so
especially,
what's a big deal?
Especially at 8:30 in the morning at Riverfront Park.
Yeah, or with people around.
With people around. That was the thing that still gets me. Yeah.
We're going to be doing a show pretty soon, Dave, about the homeless. And I learned some things. The Salem Reporter had a nice article about it and the influx and outflow. Some of the things that are working in our community about homeless. This gentleman was living out of his car, right?
Yes, we know that.
He was transient. And mm-hmm. But some things that are working, that are getting people housing out of the cold and so on and so forth. And mm-hmm. some things that lend a new influx of people. And it was a very interesting thing. We'll be talking about it in the future show. Today, we're talking to Mary Lucas mm-hmm. and her experience here at Salem of being a victim of a violent attack. Because through that, and that was, it was 8 years ago. I can count. 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. But now you have an event, and it's called Crosswalk.
It is called the Crosswalk. Amen.
And yeah. So it's going to happen this Saturday. You do it every year now?
Yes, we have.
And it mm-hmm. did it start the first year right after?
The very first year right after. I actually gathered friends and family. And we gathered up Brian Johnston Park. I really wasn't quite ready to go down to Riverfront Park, but we gathered there and just gave God the glory for another year and the gratitude. And you know, you've got to start with something new on New Year's Day. And so we gathered, we walked around the park, came home and had a big chili feast and called it good. And then as friends left, I just was looking at my husband Chuck and I said, we need to keep doing this. We need to do this somehow and make an impact on our community. I don't know what that means, but that's what that was on my heart to do.
And now you have sponsors.
We
and
do.
You have, and what is your stated goal of the event?
The stated goal of the event is to continue to raise awareness in our community that Marion County Victims Assistance Division is there for people of all victims of crime, not just sexual victims. I mean, we're talking people who have, you know, their houses have been broken into or whatever crime, that's what they do. But we're also really adamant about collecting funds through our supporters and that every single nickel and dime goes back to Marion County Victims Assistance Division.
That is fantastic. We're going to talk more about the event itself coming up this Saturday. We're talking to Mary Lucas. Her husband's name is Chuck.
Yes.
He was a local attorney. Mm-hmm. Very supportive, obviously.
Yes, he has been.
And how her experience at Riverfront Park led to a mission and led to an event that goes on to this day. And you can participate this Saturday at 10 a.m. with with Crosswalk. I have to look. I'm looking at the logo on Mary's shirt, if I don't get this wrong. So we'll hear all about that and the hope that Mary likes to spread and the optimism that comes out of it. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Can't believe it's 2019 already.
29. Go ahead and start writing that on my checks.
What happened to 2018? I mean, geez.
I don't know. I think we're still at the turn of the millennium myself. So. Hey, welcome back to Newsmakers. We're going to lighten up a little bit. That was a very emotional segment there. And we're going to talk about how something that is traumatic and nearly tragic gives birth to something that is hopeful and helpful. That is great. And Mary Lucas, I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
So you did it first year, gathered family and friends, and you did a walk to commemorate survival in another year and so forth. And now we have Crosswalk happening every year. It's turned into an awareness event. Mm-hmm. What kind of participation did you get last year? Are you expecting?
We got about 200 people last year. We're hoping for 300. Let's go for 300, especially after all the listeners today, right?
That's right.
Because again, every cent of that $20 registration fee goes back to Marion County.
So. All right, so $20 registration fee.
But children are free.
Children are free.
Students are $15.
This Saturday, 10 a.m. at Riverfront Park at the Carousel.
Yes.
So can we register when we get there?
Absolutely.
All right, so we drop $20 a person, and it goes to victim assistance.
Correct.
And then you're going to make us exercise?
It is not so much. No? You can walk as slowly as you want to. And you can walk as far as you want to.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
we'll
just
cross
register.
The bridges and
just only one bridge and back.
Great.
It's very simple. We wanted to keep it family friendly. We want all ages and stages of folks to come. Wheelchairs, people with their pets.
Anybody wants to play with the cause.
Absolutely.
And stand with you.
And stand with me.
You know, one of the reasons your story is so compelling, and one of the reasons we want to talk about it, it does intersect with so many things that happen in our community. There's so many topics that we talk about that your story intersects. It intersects with the homeless situation and the mental health condition in our society and in our region, and the problems with mental health intersects with police and whether or not we have enough police and patrol and the services that they do. And certainly, as you're showing, it interacts with the need for services for victims.
Yes.
And which agencies to turn to and where they are. So if somebody comes down, will they get information about that or somebody that they can talk to about?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe they've been a victim and they haven't reported it.
In fact, we're expecting our new district attorney, Paige Carlson, to be there.
Oh.
We will also have the director of Victims Assistance Division will be there. And also the sexual assault facilitator, I guess I would say, of that particular area of the agency. They will all be there too, and they've been great volunteers, and they've been so supportive. And I gotta say humbly, they just never expected that this would come to fruition like it has. I mean, we've been able to provide over $100,000 to the division.
Wow.
And for that, they are most grateful. And I am so grateful to be able to have been instrumental in that.
$100,000 for victim assistance.
Yes.
Wow. And that's a pretty short period of time for an event that started with family, friends, first year.
Well, and you got to remember, they're not a nonprofit. So like Center for Hope and Safety, which they correlate, they do a lot of, together partnering of the same similar situations, but they're able to procure funds that way. So we're just excited to be able to extend this out to them.
Okay. So that is fantastic. We were talking about the attacker, and I'm sorry, we didn't finish the story. And if I'm the listener right now, I'm kind of pointing at the radio.
You want to know what happened to him?
Yeah, what happened to the guy?
Let me tell you. He was sentenced to 18 years, thank you to Judge Hart. And so he's serving 18 years over in Eastern Oregon.
Wow.
So what's that, 7 down and 11 to go?
Thank you, Judge Hart.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just say, with Judge Hart, first time in a courtroom that I've ever been, and I'm there with my family and friends and the assailants over at the other table, and Judge Hart asks me to come up and sit next to him. And I go like, what? You're going to be safe with me. You just come right up here, Mary, and sit next to me. Who does that?
Judge Hart does.
Okay. Now we know he does. And so I was able to look at, I'll name him Jeff, in the face one-on-one and tell him first and foremost that I forgave him and how this has impacted my life. And hopefully that was heard, that mm-hmm. Jeff saw my heart, and hopefully that he's working on his own walk. So,
well, and in one of the, I'm gonna circle right back around to that if I don't forget. But one of the things that this does intersect with in Oregon is the mandatory sentencing laws of violent crime. When we had Kevin Mannix, who's the author of that in the mm-hmm. mid-90s, of the mandatory sentencing laws, I believe it was Measure 11. May have that wrong, but anyway, we had him in the studio a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and so it's really top of mind in terms of the effect it has of getting violent offenders off the streets for a long time. Mm-hmm. So he's in Eastern Oregon, having 18 years to think about it.
That's right.
Thank you for giving us the end of that story.
For sure.
And what about your heroes? Are you still in contact with the rescuers?
Well, you know, my heroes were nominated and received a hero award from the American Red Cross the following September. And I was so delighted to see these young men accept this award for doing good. And they were, all three of them, so humble. They hardly even wanted to be there, but they were, all except for one, my sweet Luis. I have to just say, I have seen Luis several times since the attack. His father came to accept the award on his behalf because Luis was working. But I bought his two sons little shirts that said, "My dad's a hero." You know, we had to make it special.
How old were these gentlemen?
In their early to mid-20s.
Okay. And yeah. They were doing community service.
Yes, they were.
And mm-hmm. responded to the cry for help.
They did.
Wow.
Okay. So glad they did.
All right. Oh, boy, it'd be great to see them come and participate in Crosswalk this Saturday, 10 o'clock, at the Riverfront Park by the Carousel. We're all welcome to come down. What if we don't have $20? You're going to let us come down?
Absolutely. You may or may not get a scarf, but please come down. Or just say, "I heard you on KYKN," and then we'll give you the fancy scarf. How's
nice.
That?
How about the website for more info?
Yes, crosswalksalem.org.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Crosswalksalem.org. Mm-hmm. And I know I read a little bit in your story ahead of time, so that's a nice spot to go. Mm-hmm. How long are you going to keep this up? What's the future of the event?
I hope the future of the event never comes to an end, actually, Brent. But I've got a wonderful chairperson, Jean Wheat Palm, I have to just give an applause out to her. She has helped tremendously the last 2 years. She and I together, you know, co-chaired, and so we'll see what happens in the future. But our presenting sponsor and our founding sponsors, they all still just want to help and give, and so it'll be in their hands because I need to move.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. But the community needs you to stay. I understand.
Yeah.
All right. But so you're saying the goals are community awareness,
yes,
of the services that victims have, mm-hmm, but also community awareness of violent crime and so forth. Do you find a lot of participants that their family, themselves or their circle have been influenced by crime?
Absolutely. I've talked to a number of folks who have either been victims themselves or know of others. And so it's been really great that they've been able to come to the walk and get some more information and maybe even a little healing themselves as they walk around. It's quite emotional down there. We have some figures that have been loaned out to us from the Center of Hope and Safety that written on each of these figures is their story. And they weren't maybe as fortunate as I was. You know, they lost lives, and mothers have lost daughters, but their stories are there to be told. And that has been really impactful at the walk. So,
well, I'm talking to the missus, and we'll see if we can come down and support you this weekend.
Okay.
And stand with you and stand with victims of violent crime. I know that I decided pretty early on I would make a terrible police officer.
They see a lot, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, my
Too
goodness.
Too much.
I have enormous respect for them. I'm trying to imagine myself walking in on a scene like that, or a scene where someone's abusing a child, or mm-hmm, and I have a gun. Mm-hmm. And as the imperfect being that I am, these guys, I'm amazed at their restraint. Mm-hmm. Because someone, that would just boil my blood to mm-hmm see. I have a thing about people preying on the weak. Be it people who are smaller, people who are younger, people who are not as physically strong, and certainly children. Mm-hmm. And it just brings out boiling blood, and I would fear violence in me should I come across it.
Sound
I don't
like
know
my
that
husband.
Yeah? Yeah, okay.
He wasn't too happy.
Yes. I think my wife has mentioned it too, that she would fear, mm-hmm, if I were one of the rescuers, that gentleman would not have come up the hill.
I would have to agree with that. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm gentle, but something like that, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we never know until we're faced.
That's
and
true.
It always drives me crazy when people are judgmental and say, well, I wouldn't have done that. It's not how I would have reacted.
Yeah, right.
Well, you don't know.
Uh-huh. No,
one, you don't know. And two, we're all individuals and we're built a little differently. And mm-hmm, you have no right to, you know, to be judging what was happening at the time if you weren't there.
But, well, and I also have to say that I am one of the fortunate women who have been attacked with a man whose purpose was to rape, mm-hmm, and kill. There have been women, even women at my walk, whose story is much different than mine, who they were raped, they were locked in a trunk, they were, you know, fill in the blank. And, you know, here I am walking, talking, breathing, doing what I'm doing. I'm blessed. But I tell these women, this is my story, and God has given you your story.
Okay, so that's a good segue. We're going to come right back to that, because you mentioned God and the Lord a few times, so your faith obviously plays a part in your desire to serve and to help.
Amen, yes.
And it's inspired you to forgive your attacker as well. So sometimes you hear that in criminal cases where you're like, how could you have, you know, this person killed your daughter. How can you forgive them? That is our belief.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to have to break on that, unfortunately.
Okay.
We're going to cycle back. We're going to intersect all of these things. We have one more segment with Mary Lucas. We're talking about Crosswalk event this Saturday at Riverfront Park at the Carousel. You meet at 10 a.m. in awareness of victim assistance and supporting victims of violent crime in our community. This is Brent along with Dave. You're listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Leshwap Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Ford on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
To one whose dreams have fallen all apart.
song was picked by Mary for us to open our final segment here today on the 2nd of January. We had to turn it off so Mary wouldn't start crying on us.
Or keep crying.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're talking to Mary Lucas, founder of Crosswalk, happening this Saturday at Riverfront Park. You meet at the carousel at 10 a.m. Along with 300 of your closest friends in support of services to victims of crime, any kind of crime, mm-hmm. And victims of violent crime, and raising some money to help support victim assistance and what have you. So that song, obviously you have a Christian faith.
Yes.
And that song, she was telling us, so we're all crying in here, that was on the radio when you got in your car after being attacked.
Yes, that's exactly right.
What's the title
right.
of the song?
Safe.
Safe.
And if we continue to listen to it, you will be safe in his arms.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty okay. significant.
Safe. And who's the artist?
Phil Wickham.
All right, Phil
Could
Wickham.
Could we give a shout out to Phil? Could he maybe come to the crosswalk?
And thank you, Lord, for bringing that song to Mary when she needed it the most.
Yes, amen.
So we were leading up to this and how your faith actually helps you heal. You forgave your attacker. You didn't want him. And this is a common mistake in our community, or not our community, our society, where we think that forgiveness is somehow equated to hold them without consequence. Mm-hmm. So it's possible to forgive somebody without saying that doesn't mean they shouldn't have a consequence. And how powerful it is. And so fortunately, I have a radio show and I get to share as well. And we thank you for staring. But, you know, I've been the recipient of forgiveness when I've hurt. And I like to think I'm a forgiving sort. And I think the biggest thing about that is how much of it a gift it is. It's not a gift to the assailant. It's not a gift. Mm. It's a gift that, you know, we're not a religious show, but God showed the way for you to forgive so that it's a gift to you so your heart can be lifted.
Absolutely.
It's a gift for us to forgive that we can tear away the hurt and the pain and the resentment. We were talking about resentment and anger the other day. Anyway, so bless you.
Thank you.
And thank you for blessing the community with your event and sharing, holy cow, sharing such an emotional and traumatic experience with us today. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me on your very first show of the year.
First show of the year.
Wow.
Well, we had to get you in before your event.
Yes.
So, Mary Lucas, been in the community a long time. If you're just joining us, worked at Chemeketa. She helps people get in their own jobs. Tell us the name of the business again.
Source for Work,
and founded Crosswalk, and this is since 2013.
Yeah.
And it's been growing, and tell us a little bit about your sponsors. We haven't talked about your sponsors.
Yes, well, our founding sponsors I want to give a shout out to initially, because there was absolutely no hesitation when I started talking to folks about what I could do in our community. And Green Acres Landscape, bless those Kansky boys. They just stepped right up. They do so much in our community, but there was no question. And then my dear friends Brian and Nina White with Paramount Real Estate Services. Nina actually said, can we sponsor with you?
May we please?
Like, okay, that's good. Another founding sponsor at the time was Valley Credit Union. Mm-hmm. They are no longer sponsoring, and that's okay. They have got other missions they want to pursue, but R. Bauer Insurance here in Kaiser stepped up as our new presenting sponsor the last 2 years. So thank you, Tom Bauer.
You got to like those insurance folks.
Yeah, you do.
So R. Bauer here in Kaiser is your presenting sponsor? Is that what you said?
Presenting sponsor.
Very nice.
And then the founding sponsors, of course, with Paramount and Green Acres Landscape.
Green Acres still with you.
Yes, Paramount still with us.
That Rich Kansky, I want to get him on the show.
You should.
He is a character, and he...
humble guy.
I have never once heard him toot a horn. He's hard enough to grab a hold of and say, thank you and how you're doing.
It's exactly right.
He's so many things in the community, in addition to having a great business.
Yes.
Green Acres is a really great philosophy, and they employ a lot of people. And so good plug
They've
for them.
They've actually employed some of my people.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That is awesome, because you're putting people, the to challenges work. To work.
You got it. Yeah.
That is terrific. So if the Kanskys are listening and somebody from Green Acres, you tell Rich, give us a call, and we'll find a date. And
I'll
we'll
get
let
him down
him
here
talk.
For you.
Okay. Uh-huh. That sounds good.
Right.
Any other sponsors you need to
Salem plug? Health.
Salem Health, of course.
Yes. Premium Property Management.
Another good people. Another.
Sunrise Medical Consultants. White Oak Construction.
White Oak.
I should have brought
my
list, Brent.
Oh, my goodness.
Do
we need to pull
bad.
Up your website?
Yeah. Could you do that? KYKN.
KYKN. I do know that. I do know a lot of these people.
Yes.
Premium Property Management. Really good people.
Dan Noble. Yeah.
Dan does
the
great
best.
Work. Good man of faith. And just a good community mm-hmm. member in general.
I am finding that to be true.
All right. Absolutely. So many people jumping aboard and helping with your cause.
Yes. Yes. And more each year.
Okay. And more each year.
Yeah.
So you use, obviously using that sponsorship money. And where does it go?
The money. It goes right
into your
back.
Pocket, right?
Oh, no.
No.
It absolutely goes right back to Marion County Victims Assistance Division. And we make that really clear when we open and greet people at our walk. And so, yeah, that's where it goes.
That is terrific. So we're talking to Mary Lucas. She's an employment
specialist.
Specialist.
Job developer.
Job developer.
Job coach. You
yeah.
name it. I do it.
Yeah. So people who are in vocational rehab mm-hmm. would come to see her and place them. And so you strike me as a person who is built as a servant and
Thank
likes
you.
To help people.
Thank
so,
you.
And I would never wish your kind of experience and your trauma on anyone. Mm-hmm. I wish it had not happened to you, but on the other hand, you have taken that mm-hmm. and turned it into something positive.
Absolutely, and so, I'm so glad that we've been able to do that.
And there's so many people that need help mm-hmm. and need services, and they don't know where to turn.
That's right.
Now, if you don't know where to turn and you're listening to the program, come down to Riverfront Park mm-hmm. and ask somebody.
Absolutely.
Sometimes
they'll be
it's
there.
Really hard to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's really hard to share. But hopefully, Mary, today you have been inspiring.
I hope, even if one more victim comes forward and asks for help.
What do we do about prevention? I mean, you have the mental health issue here in town, and you have it intersecting with the homeless issue in town. And how then they're kind of hard to extricate, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and that's a whole nother subject, isn't it?
Another hour to talk
Another
about.
Another hour to talk about it. Yeah, for sure. Because definitely my assailant was mentally ill. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry about that. But we see that in our community time and time again. And I still work with folks who, you know, are homeless. You know, they're given their addresses. They're 394 Commercial Street, which is UGM. Huh. So you just never know.
Speaking of UGM, mm-hmm. we're going to have some people from the UGM on the show here Terrific. Coming up very soon. We've got Dan Clem that's working with that, and Mike Roberson from Roberson Motors, who's a volunteer helping raise money for the move.
That's great.
The move and the expansion from yeah. downtown to just north of downtown. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a huge Salem event. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a huge Salem landscape change.
Yes,
and the
it
number,
is.
Amount of services that'll be out there.
I hope so.
Okay, so if you had one wish for the community moving forward as far as violent crime and victims, what would that be?
Be aware.
Be aware.
Be safe. Don't walk alone.
Don't walk alone.
I still would tell
yeah.
folks, do not walk alone.
Never walk alone. Thank you, Mary Lucas. We hope to see you
Thank
all out there
you.
Saturday at 10 a.m. at Riverfront Park. This is Brent the Hart with Dave Bourne. You've been listening to the first Newsmakers of the Year on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
See you tomorrow.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.